Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The subject is skin and skincare. And in part one, we talked about natural skincare from the standpoint of nutrients and diet and cosmetics to avoid. Our guest is Ginger Downey. She has a Master's of Science in the field of nutrition. She's also a certified nutrition specialist. In fact, she's executive administrator of the BCNS, the Board for Certified Nutrition Specialists. That's a board that I proudly serve on, and I have a CNS certificate, which I guess evinces that I know a little something about nutrition. It's good to have some initials after your name. She is also involved with a company called Dermamed, which uses innovative approaches for skincare. They make equipment and products for health professionals, spa owners, dermatologists, plastic surgeons. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about this realm, which is a little bit, you know, I got to say, Ginger, this is a little bit like the Wild West, you know, when it comes to, you know, you go to, you know, some place and they'll, you know, they'll freeze it, they'll burn it, they'll laser it, they'll zap it.
No doubt, yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's not, I mean, it's like nice, you go to the spa and you get a treatment. It's like a luxury kind of thing. But, you know, what's the real deal on these treatments? You know, what's out there and... You know, what should people be looking for?
Wow. So I think it depends on the goal, right, and the age and the starting point of each person. So I think what I've learned from my time being, you know, co-owner of Dermamed Solutions is that it's okay and it's actually a really good thing and it should be part of your wellness routine to take care of your skin. So in the past, I felt like, oh boy, getting a facial, that's kind of, you know, pampering. Getting a massage, that's, you know, that's really pampering myself. You're being a softie if you do something like that. But, you know, the more that I have studied this field and learned about, you know, the importance of our barrier function and you know, what our skin does for us, you know, I've realized that, you know, it really should be part of everyone's wellness routine. So what should you do? I think,
so,
you know,
it's more of a care and maintenance thing, not just like a, you know, like a luxury thing, like, you know, your husband buys you a package for your anniversary or something like that. It's just like a special, you know, girls day out kind of thing. And why be sexist about it? Because men can benefit from this as well. More and more men are becoming aware that their appearance, it's not just a matter of vanity. It's also a matter of, you know, professional, presentation. So, yeah, it's important.
Absolutely. And I have to, you know, to your point, the men are really a growing segment in the aesthetic market. And, you know, with good reason. And think about, you know, men have quite a skin routine that they have to go through every day with shaving if you don't wear a beard, right? So folliculitis and, you know, terrible razor burn and this discomfort that men can get from shaving is, you know, really uncomfortable and can lead to infections and really unsightly looking skin. So men need to take care of their skin as well. And so when thinking about, you know, what should people do, like what works and what doesn't work. So there's a lot of really great things that work and there's a lot of snake oil out there. So I'm going to start with skincare. I think that when you're looking for a skincare line, you know, ask really good questions about the percentage of the active ingredients in the products. And I learned this when I first took my skincare formulation classes, and I learned a little bit about it, and I kind of got excited, and I found all these ingredients I wanted to use in my products, and I went to my manufacturer, and I said, I want that endothelol, which comes from rosemary. I want that in this product at 2%, because in the science, that shows that it's going to reduce rosacea, and I love this, and I'm so excited.
And then they tell you that, I'm sorry, but it'll now cost like $1,200 per ounce, so we can't do that.
They laughed at me.
Right.
Ginger, no one uses the percentage in the research. And I said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I do. And I do. And I don't make a lot of money on my skincare. It is not the money maker in the business, but I feel so good about it. Mm-hmm. And when people use my products, if I list something as an active ingredient and I show a
So it's not just window dressing, because sometimes people say, oh boy, there's something in there. Oh, I've heard that that's good. But they use such a minimal amount in order to dress up the description, but it's not the clinically effective amount.
Right. They can throw that on the label, but it's not going to be effective. Mm-hmm. So when reading a label, the ingredients are listed in the, so the highest quantity of the ingredients in the product is listed first down to the trace amount.
Descending order.
Right, ascending order. So take a look at that label, and if you know you really want endothelol for your rosacea, then make sure that it's pretty high up on the list, that there's going to be a good amount in it. So I think that's really important.
So wait, this is something that's effective for rosacea, because that's a really common problem. What is that product so people can
Yeah, can't cure rosacea, because rosacea really is an outside-in-inside-out story. Mm-hmm. But endothelol, it comes from rosemary, and it's been clinically shown to kind of reduce those vascular lesions on the skin, so those ruptured capillaries. So the overall redness, also the production of those capillaries in the future.
So it's seriously anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, seriously anti-inflammatory, but really works on those capillaries. So good capillary support.
So
you
know, I guess a pretty powerful bioflavonoid, because bioflavonoids reduce capillary leakage. They used to be referred to as substance P, which has to do with the permeability of small blood vessels. And so I guess it's that principle is being invoked in treating rosacea, which is the little ruptured blood vessels.
Yep, exactly.
Very cool.
And here's where, you know, you didn't need some harsh chemical or some, you know, drug. You know, you can really go after something botanically based and get really great results as long as it's used in the right amounts. So tip number one, you know, I want people to really look at their skincare line, look at the percentages of active ingredients. Also look at that other list that we talked about in the first
segment. Avoid the bad ingredients.
Get rid of those parabens and the artificial fragrances. It doesn't have to smell good. But, you know, if it smells good naturally, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it's really about the best thing that anyone, any age can do for their skin is protect from UV radiation. And so that's using a really good mineral sunscreen every single day. So that's rain or shine, whether you live in Alaska or Florida, you really need to use that mineral sunscreen every day. I think that it is the number one biggest anti-aging tool in everyone's toolkit.
So you're on the side of the dermatologist there, protect your skin from the sun, but what about the vitamin D connection, you know, where we're, you know, shunning the solar rays that the ultraviolet triggers vitamin D production in your skin surfaces?
Yeah, it's a really good little, you know, it's a good point. It's a little conundrum for many people. So what I suggest to people is, you know, I always want your face covered and your neck covered. So these areas with thinner skin that tend to age faster. And for those who don't have a really strong history of melanoma or skin cancer, I would say, you know, they say that it's really truncal exposure where you can get the best skin, vitamin D production, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go out in the, if you're going to be out in the sun, you know, keep your trunk uncovered with sunscreen and uncovered, period, you know, with your bathing suit on, of course, unless you're on a nude beach. And go ahead and get that 10 minutes and then put on your sunscreen.
Mm, okay.
But for people, in my opinion, for people who have high risk of skin cancer, I'm going to suggest to them that, you know, we might want to look to supplements as their primary food and supplements for their primary source of vitamin D.
Okay.
If anti-aging and spots are something they're concerned with. So I think number one, sunscreen, and I think mineral sunscreen. So the reason I say that is, so the chemical...
So mineral sunscreen as opposed to chemical sunscreen, I think that you're distinguishing because there's these chemicals that block the solar rays, but there's also minerals such as zinc
and titanium.
That is a sunblocker, right?
Yeah, zinc and titanium are the two that we use. And, you know, the formulations have come such a long way. It blends right in now. You don't have that horrible white nose.
Lifeguard nose.
The lifeguard image that comes to mind for all of us. And now I know we offer one in our line that's tinted now that, you know, we have, someone with a skin type 6, a very dark African-American man in our office who can wear the same tinted sunscreen that I can. And I'm a skin type 1-2, fair Irish.
Okay.
So it's cool. Like the things we've been able to do with mineral sunscreen is just great.
And so you don't look pasty.
Yeah, you don't look pasty. It looks really fabulous. And so then just to contrast with the chemical sunscreen, so you can buy a lot of makeups and cosmetic products that have SPF in it that comes from chemicals like oxybenzone, ozone, there's all these different chemical sunscreens. The way that they work is as soon as they come in contact with the radiation from the sun, they heat up and they become inflammatory on the skin. And so a lot of studies are showing that, you know, they can really do more harm than good in a lot of cases. And so for me, I would always go with the mineral sunscreen. It's very safe.
And you have to search them out because, recently took a trip to the Dominican Republic and I looked at everything and it was like hardly anything I had to end up using a kid's product.
That's right.
Yeah, because there wasn't anything that was chemical free.
No, it's true. And I've used the kids' products myself when I travel, like to the Caribbean or something. Because then also, usually they're asking you to be like barrier reef and coral reef friendly.
Yeah, so that too. Exactly. Because I went diving and you get a few tens of thousands of divers and swimmers going into those pristine waters and the coral's going to die. That's interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have to look out for our environment as well. So really good SPF protection. And then on the topical skincare side, I think that there's two vitamins that need to go onto your skin every day. And so that's vitamin C during the day. So vitamin C is just a great overall antioxidant. And you can buy vitamin C in your serum, in your moisturizer. You know, there's all kinds of ways to get your vitamin C. Some of the mineral sunscreens have it. But vitamin C is so critically important just for fighting free radical damage. We're all exposed to toxins and pollutants in our environment every single day. And that vitamin C also increases our protection against the sun when put into a mineral sunscreen. So, you know, really awesome. Vitamin C every morning and then vitamin A every night. So one of the retinol every night. And so there's some that can be really irritating to the skin and kind of make your skin really pink and flaky, and that's kind of those really strong retin A products that you get by prescription.
Right.
But the over-the-counter retinols are much better, and I know that, you know, in our line, we purchase ones that are specially formulated to have a really slow delivery system, so you don't have that redness and irritation. But what you do have is this skin cell turnover. And that's helping you to regenerate and have glowing skin, also sloughing off anything that could be collecting that could be negative that we don't want growing on our skin. So you always want to be gently exfoliating. And so vitamin A at night does that. So those three things every single day, I think, are really important for every single age group. And then I think in terms of exfoliation, microdermabrasion, you know, done every other month or something, depends on, you know, the age of the person. But again, like a deeper exfoliation. So the whole idea is that we stimulate collagen production, which helps to prevent wrinkles and, you know, from forming, or helps to work on the ones that you already have by doing these deep exfoliations. So you're always stimulating. So those are like the really gentle things that you can do. And then we go into the big guns. So now maybe we're a little bit further along and we've got some age spots, you know, which come as a result of sun exposure, and we want to get rid of those. Well, a little microdermabrasion and some certain acids like azelaic acid, for example, might help, but it really won't eradicate them. And that's when you really need to turn to the lasers. And what's so interesting with lasers is there's all kinds of frequencies that do all kinds of jobs. And so basically, you know, that light is looking to target a certain receptor on the skin and then either remove hair or remove pigment or, you know, exfoliate, et cetera.
And lasers generally go to the darker spots or to darker hair on the skin in their zapping effect, and they'll be reflected by the lighter skin. So they tend to create a more uniform skin appearance.
Absolutely. And it's a really good point you make. So say, for example, someone has always wanted to do laser hair removal. But they've waited until their hair has turned gray. They're not going to have a successful treatment. Really, ideally, we have good treatments with people with light skin and dark hair, or you know, lighter skin. And once we get up into the darker skin types, you really can't use most lasers on those skin types because you'll have hypopigmentation.
It just will absorb. The skin will absorb rather than the hair.
Yep, exactly. And so, really, it's that target that the light is looking for its target. It's typically a dark target. And sometimes even what we'll do if we're trying to remove spots is we'll put on a little product with like some niacinamide or something on it. That'll make it darken up even more to be a better target for the light.
And niacinamide is an interesting nutrient when it comes to skin cancer prevention. There are some studies, if I'm not mistaken, that show that it can reduce the incidence of basal cell cancers and squamous cell cancers when taken orally at decent amounts, like 1,500 a day, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you have to be able to tolerate the, you know, the flushing side effects.
Is niacinamide.
No, niacinamide instead of niacin.
Yeah.
And we also use the niacinamide form in our topical formulations, and it's great for hydration. It really, the niacinamide in a topical formulation really helps the skin to hold on to its moisture. And so it lowers what we call trans-epidermal water loss. And so, you know, every night when we go to sleep, for example, we lose a lot of water through our skin. And that's why nighttime moisturizing is so important to help maintain your moisture, especially in climates where it's drier.
Are you a fan of alpha-lipoic acid? Because certain skin lines now incorporate ALA, alpha-lipoic acid, as a potent antioxidant for skin. It also smells a little sulfury when you apply it to the skin, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I have read about it and looked into it, but you know, I feel like there are so many other great alternatives in terms of topical antioxidants that if I had to choose one, especially because I don't fragrance my products, I'm not going to choose the ALA because people aren't going to buy it in the end. I've got to tell you, people are funny that way. And I feel like I can achieve something just as good, if not better, with other really great topical antioxidants. So we use a lot of green tea in our line, which is great. Resveratrol is another one that's fabulous. And then the basics, A, C, E, you know, these are just tried and true and proven anti-aging ingredients for topical skincare.
What about a technique called PRP? Because they draw the blood out, they spin it down, and then they there's these micro injections in the skin to rejuvenate the skin. It's a rejuvenative technique that's even used for scalp and for hair regrowth.
Yeah, I've seen some really great results with that. We don't use that in our line, but I, you know, I'm in the industry, so I get to go to trade shows and really learn and read a lot. And so there's just one caveat for that that I've been told. So if you say it's a 70-year-old woman and she wants to have her youthful glow of, you know, age 40 back again, you have to understand that when you're taking your own blood, that you're getting your own plasma, right? So whatever is in your blood is 70 years old. It's not 40 years old. So you can spin it and re-inject it, and you'll get some result. But it's not as good as if you were using material from younger.
That would be like vampire skin treatments.
Yes.
Is that something that's hit the marketplace yet from young, healthy, you know, beautiful donors?
Yeah. I don't know if they're actually using the plasma, the platelet-rich plasma from donors, or if they're going out and they're creating something synthetic. So I think it's more the latter. I haven't heard about any kind of donors.
But, well, I sometimes go to, you know, fancy parties and or on, you know, walking down the street in, you know, East Hampton or Southampton or Beverly Hills, and I see people, they look like movie stars. I can't recognize them, though. They, you know, probably aren't really movie stars. They're just, you know, upscale people. And they have what I would term rich skin. And that probably is the result of they're doing all these things. Their business is to look good, and they probably get elaborate skin treatments at skin spas, like, you know, procedures that you describe, and their just skin glows and it's smooth and uniform, and they may be, you know, in their 60s and 70s, and yet they have that glow.
Yeah, I think it's really about paying attention. So it's about giving your skin the nutrition it needs, both from the inside and the outside, protecting the skin from UV radiation and damage, the number one most damaging component, along with smoking. But then, you know, I'm just going to stick up for, like, the good old-fashioned
basics.
Sometimes basics, right? So I don't think we have to get so fancy with all of these treatments personally. I mean, I do love my lasers and I love my IPL and, you know, a lot of, you know, these other treatments that we sell. I think they're fantastic. But recently we rolled out something that has been giving us, like better results than we've seen in, you know, many other higher technology modalities. And it's a treatment we introduced called DM Glow. And we, added these facial cup vacuum massage hand pieces to our microdermabrasion. So basically it's a big vacuum cleaner. And have you heard of lymphatic drainage? So essentially we do a little lymphatic drainage massage on the face, and we combine that with just our good old-fashioned microdermabrasion, which is the exfoliation, and one of our chemical peels, either with mandelic or glycolic acid. And we are putting those three things together is giving us better results than we've seen in any other before and after we've ever done in our work in our research lab at DermaMed.
And it doesn't involve like really expensive equipment that costs, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No, this is like the cheapest equipment. Well, if they have a microdermabrasion machine, you know, perhaps they paid $8,000 or $9,000 for that piece of equipment. But the cupping attachment is just a couple hundred dollars.
Okay. And it's so called DM Skincare? DM?
Oh, DM Glow is
the
new
Glow
treatment.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's using lymphatic drainage, and for some reason, by you know increasing the lymphatic drainage and the flow, the circulation under the skin before doing the treatments that we were always doing before, we're seeing you know phenomenal results. So well, you know, I just feel like sometimes you have to go back to the basics.
Well, I really want to commend you because you are an example of someone who is you know starts with the basic sciences. And like a really sound educational background in chemistry and biochemistry and nutrition, and but also has that innovative, creative side where you've amalgamated the you know the hard science, the scrupulous research with some innovative techniques. And I think that that really is a potent combination when you're trying to bring great results to people on the skin front.
You don't have a practice.
It's not people can go to your clinic and have a procedure. Is that the way it works? You work to supply a whole network of skincare specialists. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, we've probably got about 1,500 customers around the world, mostly in the United States, but we do have some international customers, and they would be estheticians, spa owners. Sometimes it's a single esthetician practicing on our own, or it could be a spa, or we have some spa chains, and then we have dermatologists, plastic surgeon, doctors. You know, we have our doctor side of the business too.
So do you have a practitioner directory on your website?
We don't, but if someone were to call our office and call email, you know, reach out through any of our you know, sources of contacting us, we could certainly let them know if there was someone in their area, sure.
Okay, and that's DermaMed. People can look up DermaMed Solutions.
Exactly, yeah. So our phone number is 610-358-4447, and we are DermaMedSolutions.com. And then for our retail skincare site, that is DMSkincare.com. So
okay. I also want to put in a plug for your activities with the Board for Certified Nutrition Specialists.
I would love that.
So, as the executive director, you preside over that certification process. So we have a lot of nutritionally oriented practitioners listening. In brief, what is the advantage to them to undergo that process, and why should they become CNSs?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, to become a CNS, you do have to have some advanced education in nutrition. So you need to have either a master's in nutrition or a master's in certain associated sciences, and then certain coursework that, you know, it's all on our website, which is nutritionspecialist.org. So anyway, you have to have this, basic foundational coursework, very important. And then, so depending on who you are, so if you're a doctor, instead of doing a supervised practice, so 1,000 hours of supervised practice hours, you can do case studies. So based on some work you've
already done. Which is how I qualified.
Which is how you qualified, right. So you already had nutrition within your scope of practice. You had already done the extra nutrition study to be qualified to really practice nutrition. And then you conducted these case studies. They were evaluated. Mm-hmm. You had to take the exam, which is not easy. I know you can attest to that, right, Ron?
Right. It's a very challenging exam. And if you get like a 75 on the exam or an 80 on the exam, that's pretty good. Because
you're
the questions are tough. Yeah, exactly. And these days, I've graduated to, now that I'm a CNS, I graduated to with you, because you're on the same committee, writing the questions, which is really fun. I really find that fun and challenging, is writing questions for health professionals. And it isn't easy to write a good question. I realize that now.
Isn't that shocking? I am so much happier to be on the other side of the question writing than the question the taking of the test. But yes, what's so interesting is that just the way that you have to write a question, there's so much to talk about. We could spend a whole day talking about test question writing. But you look at now when you take a quiz, if you're doing some kind of continuing education and there's a quiz at the end, don't you evaluate the questions all of a sudden?
Yeah, wait,
you have this critical
That's a lousy question. I could have done better.
Yeah, look at the way that's formatted. That's all wrong. But just back to your question. So why is it important? So I feel like nutrition is the most important tool that we have in our toolkits as any kind of an allied health professional for prevention and also for treatment of chronic health conditions. And so the more people we can get out there who have really good basic understanding of nutrition and how to use the biochemistry of nutrition to heal, the better the whole world will be. And so by, becoming a CNS, you really demonstrate that you're setting yourself apart. I haven't taken a 6-month correspondence course to become, kind of semi-knowledgeable about nutrition.
I'm not a self-proclaimed nutritionist, because I, took a couple of weekend seminars.
Right. I really, really understand the biochemistry of nutrition, and that is, so we are NOCA certified, so that is a national credentialing agency that certifies the CNS credential.
And that's very rigorous.
Very rigorous. And so, if you're a CNS, that means something. And so we are named in state licensure laws. We're also named in certain federal laws about, reimbursement for Medicare and things like that. So, it really is, it's going to set you apart from your colleagues. You get another little set of initials to put after your name, right, Ron?
Yeah. It's also a seal of approval for your patients, so that your patients realize that you're offering a higher quality of nutritional excellence.
Absolutely. And so once you become a CNS, you're given the seal that you can put on your business cards. You are a part of a provider directory network. So, people can find you for services. So, that's really a nice perk as well.
Indeed. All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground on today's program. And I think people, I certainly learned a lot about natural skin care and what's out there. I want to extend my appreciation to you, Ginger Downey. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Ron. I really enjoyed the conversation.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Tending to your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for details. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com.